Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Andrea Chabier, Fred Film Radio from the Berlinale with Seamus Murphy, director of .com Money.
How was this project born?
I don't know. Newspapers are, you know, the great thing about newspapers is they come out every day. You know, this project's gone on for years. And it's the way we wanted it. I mean, it's the way that we work, you know. We did three trips, and the first one was 2011. And yet we've probably been talking about this for a year before we did that trip. And then the next trip was 2012. The next trip was 2014. And then the album comes out in 2015. And then I go back and do more stuff. And then the editing took a long day. So, you know, these things take time. You do a story, you take a picture, and often it's in the next day, or even the same day if it's now. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but I think it's nice to feel like you've done a day's work, you know, and it's over. And whereas these projects, and I've always got other projects going. I've got a project at the moment on Russia America, which is a photographic project I've been doing for years. That's coming out at the end of the year. I'm doing Brexit at the moment, stills, which is really interesting. I mean, obviously, I'm doing this right now, but you know, it's different projects.
Yeah.
Different. In fact, it's funny. I really had to sit through the screen. I mean, I wanted it anyway. It was the first time seeing it with an audience, but I really had to sit through it and remind myself, because I've been in another place in the last few months.
And how did you work on the film as third part of the project? How did it came up?
Well, it was part of the whole project. So when did you see that book?
Yeah.
That was the we thought to begin with. We'd like to do a book. She would do an album, and I would do a film. So from the start, when I was filming with her on the travels, I had to take pictures for the book. So it was too much, really. And then I had to go back because, you know, I needed more coverage. You know, she could take notes, and then on those notes, she could build, you know,
expand
worlds. Yeah, as a photographer, a filmmaker, you can't do that. You've got to be there, you know. So she literally was at times 10 minutes 15 minutes with somebody, and that became a note and some extra notes, and then for the next year then she expanded and built whatever. So it was ongoing right from the start for me.
And the idea of the live recording, how did it come up?
That came very late. And that was her idea. And she was talking to the guy who runs Art Angel, which is a arts funding organization. And she was just saying to me, I have this idea of having like an installation. You know, we're recording, people are watching. But I mean, I'm sure it costs money because whatever. And I think she was thinking about the White Cube in London, which is a gallery, so have it in the gallery. But there was some reason why that wouldn't work. And he said, well, actually, we can fund that because our remit is to bring art into strange places and out of the galleries and bring it somewhere else. So that I think that idea came. They started building it in December. I think it was October, November when that idea came in 2014. Yeah. The years just go by.
How did the project evolve?
It comes at the end. I mean, you have an idea. I mean, the vague idea was to go to places that, well, I knew them already, that inspired us, that we thought were relevant. I mean, that's a very personal choice, you know. I mean, I could find Sweden relevant, you know. We could have gone to Sweden, I mean, but we went to these places. And the first one was this invitation to a Kosovo, where we had talked about going to anyway, and then the film festival invited us, so we went, and that started it. Afghanistan was obvious because I've done a lot of work there, and she, before she met me, was very interested in Afghanistan. But it evolved. It was very serendipity, you know. It sort of try this, and then even working there, it was collecting, and I discovered on Let England Shake, making those films, don't try to work out what you're doing. I mean, don't try to finalize it when you're doing it. You know, have ideas and be thinking about what you want to get, and obviously also follow what's happening, and you might be surprised. And, you know, often you plan to do one thing and something else happens and it's much better. So be open to that. But then don't tie it all up until you have to. So I just kept working at this, and I mean, at the beginning I had, like, drones were coming in. I don't know when that was. That was like for photography. I mean, people were starting to use drones. I was thinking about that. And I'm thinking it was 2013, maybe it was 2014. You were beginning to see things being used. Now wedding photographers use them, and I thought, God, it'd be great to play with the idea of PJ Harvey and her persona, and running away from fame, and I could have the drone. She'd be running down the street. I had all these ideas, right? Mm-hmm. And then I thought, actually, everyone's using drones. You know, I'm not going to do that. So I had many, 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 many thoughts. But then, you know, you get the material you get, and then that feeds the next thing you do. And then I guess the Somerset House thing started, and I had no intention of recording for this film. Them recording, that was not my idea at all. And then when I started seeing what they were doing, and they were building the structure, and they didn't know what was going to happen, and actually she's a very private person, and yet she's letting the public come in, and what happens if they can't do it? But what happens if the musicians are too shy? Maybe, you know, maybe they're fighting each other. They didn't know any of that. I thought, I've got to film this. So I thought I'd film the first few days, and then I just stayed there 6 weeks, 5 weeks.
Can you just take us back to the times when you two met?
The very first time we met, she'd seen my Afghan work and wanted to get in touch. And about a year later, we actually met. The record company sent me her music so I could find out what it was. And then she was still working on Let England Shake. And, you know, I was traveling and she was doing her thing. And then she was playing in London with John Parrish. There was an album before Let England Shake called A Woman Walk By, and I was invited to that, and then I met her the next day in her hotel for a cup of tea, and that was the first meeting, and we spent 3 hours just talking about all kinds of stuff. But by the time I met her, you know, it was a year later, and we had lots of phone calls. You know, we realized that we were going to do something together. It was certainly going to be me taking photographs, probably of her. And then when I met her, I had just come back from Afghanistan, where I'd been shooting video for the first time, and it was a film that was being made that I was co-directing about my work in Afghanistan and my stills. She said, "Oh, you make films as well. Why don't you make films for my album? Here's the demo. We don't record it until whenever." And so that was the first meeting.
So what did you see in her?
Actually a very straightforward person. I mean, that's Polly. She's, you know, what you see is what you get. And I think, you know, it's extraordinary when I read what people write about her or people say to me about her. And they, you know, when we were in Italy for that book, we had to be there for the press. There was a Spanish woman who was a production manager for Bloomsbury, and she's a big PJ Harvey fan. And she said, you know, first night we're there and we have a meal. And then Polly says, "Well, I'm off to bed now. This is about 9 o'clock." And she goes to bed. And this woman says, "Oh, my God, she's changed." That's what I mean. She said, "Oh, you know, Polly would have been out." And she wouldn't. She wouldn't. Never did that. So that's funny, you know, that people have this idea. She's this, you know. So, I mean, that persona was kind of what interested me. That's what I say about the drones. You know, I had an idea, too. One day I was coming in the London Underground, and there was a woman playing guitar, busking, and she sounded a bit like Polly, but she was busking and she was older, and I thought that would be interesting, you know, to imagine if Polly never made it, you know. And I had these other ideas. I could have made another. I'm thinking that, you know, the rappers in DC, that group are very interesting, and I have a lot of material already from them. They interest me too as an evolving group of people. I don't know,
going back to the film and to the recording part,
yeah.
How difficult was it to technically to sort it out?
It was tricky because I was on my own. I had one assistant, my nephew, and he would come in and he'd give me new batteries and I would give him the cards. Because the thing is, you didn't want to break. There was an audience watching at times. There were musicians in the middle of their thing. I didn't want to intrude. In fact, at the very beginning, not the musicians, but the organisers of Somerset House were saying, "We're not sure if we want this because people are coming in to see this performance and it's busy in there, and there's a guy with a camera, you know." Like, but they watched me working. They said, "Actually, he's fine. It's fine." And so it was tricky because also I couldn't, you know, there were times when I'd want to do something else and walk across, but I couldn't, you know, because it was just the wrong moment. So I had to be kind of tactful. And as I say, people would stand in front of the camera and I couldn't move them, or they'd walk past and the camera would jump. And that's all in there. Because the floor was a fake floor. It was like a suspended floor. So when you walked, everything bounced. And I had tripods. And literally, you see sometimes, you can't, you know. And that's just part of it. That's part of it, you know. And what else happened? You're not really thinking about who people are outside, but until you go outside and look in, and then you come back in, and then you're very conscious of, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, at one stage, I had an old Rolleiflex camera that I use sometimes. Yeah. And I just got it, and I was using it, and it's kind of hard to put the film in. And I was by the window, and I knew there was a crowding because I'd sort of heard them coming in. And I was trying to get this fucking film in, and it was like really tricky. And I was just thinking, there's probably a photography student right there, you know, like there's the glass. Like what is wrong with this guy? Like, it's, you know, what's he doing? Because the film was falling, and yeah. I'm trying to think of other things that happened inside. There was a lot of laughter in the room, and I got some of it in the film, which I didn't end up being in the final edit, because sometimes the laughter went on too long. I mean, it was almost hysterical, because someone said something or did something, and it was kind of also the air in there was kind of, there wasn't enough oxygen. It was lower than this, and it was very artificial, and the light was really bright, and you know, all these instruments and all these electronics. And she wouldn't allow air conditioning because of her voice, and also because I think the sound. Acoustically, it was dreadful. Apparently, the engineer was pulling his hair out, saying, "This is the worst place to, you know, what are we doing in here?" It took, I think, 9 months to mix the album because it was so tricky. So, you know, she really made it hard.
What was the perception the musician had while playing? Did they play for the audience, or at some point they just forget?
I don't think so. But having said that, what I found really interesting was, you know, here are top musicians, and this is a big sort of visible project, and this is for any of them, it's a big thing, right? And they're great musicians, and you know, they want their contribution to be heard, and they want to be recorded, and they want to be whatever. And yet, there's 8 of them, 10 of them. And, you know, you can't have egos bumping into each other. So they have to be very careful about presenting ideas. You know, you don't want to be seen as being pushy. And people are watching. So, you know, you've got to... So what would happen is, like, a guy in the corner would be playing something on a violin, but you know that he's testing it out. He's hoping that she hears it, or maybe the producer hears it. And sometimes you say, like, yeah, I really like that. You know, and then he... You know, there was little battles going on, I think. But they were very gentle, mm-hmm. and very diplomatic. And the producer, Flood, was very interesting. He said, before people came in, he was telling me, he said, this is going to be really interesting because, you know, even the space they stand on, you know, is going to be like, you know, that's my space, and, you know, this is my security, and how people deal with that. And actually, there wasn't that much evidence of people being you know, stressed out by it. Mm. But she's a great manager, Polly. She's an incredible, you know, she manages. You know, she picks the right people. I mean, you know, I would never, if I'd listened to her music, I would never have thought, oh yeah, I could work with her. I would never have thought of that. How she thought that this would work with me, you know, with any of the films I've made, whatever. So she does pick people that she thinks she can work with, and she picks wisely. And then she manages, you know, in a very easy way. So I think if it was somebody else, that mightn't have worked. So I think that's a tribute to her, you know, that Somerset House managed to, and even the engineer was pulling his hair out. You know, maybe some people would walk away and say, I can't do this because I can't do it.
Thanks a lot. Thanks to Seamus Murphy, director of Adacom Money from the Berlinale. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.